Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, when people are united in one voice and they speak one language, great accomplishments can be achieved. Architects, engineers, and construction workers, they communicate in drawings, plans, and building materials so that together they can create these impressive structures. Programmers, electrical engineers, and assembly workers communicate concepts and ideas to produce new and innovative technology. Composers, conductors, and musicians, they communicate with notes on a page to provide us with wonderful lyrics and melodies to listen to. With one voice and one language, groups of people have been able to communicate, collaborate, and bring to fruition the ideas of their minds and the desires of their hearts. I mean, what a wonderful and marvelous gift communication is from God. There is little that cannot be accomplished when people are united in one voice and one language. Now, in this way, humanity truly reflects the image of God. In the mystery of the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit speak and act with one voice and one language in perfect unity, communion, and communication, and they bring things into existence where once it did not exist. Of course, more on that next week as we celebrate Holy Trinity Sunday. Yet suffice to say, mankind, that is God's creatures, were given this gift and this charge. Bear the image of God. Reflect to the rest of creation a people of one voice and one language for its care and for its preservation. In doing so, mankind is to draw attention back to the one who brought it into existence. Boy, then you will notice the stark contrast of Genesis chapter 11. Mankind, after the flood, with one voice and one language, say, "Let us build for ourselves. Not for the care of others, not to draw attention to God, but for ourselves." Look, the city, the building, that wasn't the problem. I mean, that was all good engineering, architecture, and construction using new technology. The people were the problem. Rather, their hearts were the problem. Spurning the promises of God to Adam and Eve, disregarding the promise to Noah, with one voice, one language, they sought to build for themselves what? A city and a tower? And for what purpose? To make a name for ourselves, with its top in the heavens, lest we be dispersed over the face of the earth. See, in making a name for themselves, they're concerned only with self-promotion and self-glorification. And trying to keep themselves from being scattered, they are focused solely on self-preservation. In building a tower with its top to the heavens, they are focused on worshiping God on their own terms, not on His. The Tower of Babel is nothing more than a church of self-worship, whereby mankind celebrates the gifts of the Creator and the accomplishments done by them as if they were God. The Tower of Babel is a massive monument to idolatry. See, ironically, in the pride of their hearts, those speaking with one voice and one language, they did not recognize that God had come down to see what they were doing. They thought that they would have a God of their own imagination, a God on their own terms, but they were completely oblivious to the fact that the one true God was right there in their midst. Luther comments and says, you know, when the sinner is engaged in sinning and is engrossed by it, he does not see God, he does not speak of Him, and is not aware of Him. For the sinner assumes that God does not see and is not aware of what he is doing. I mean, doesn't that just describe it perfectly? And not only unaware of God's presence, but also unaware that others are being affected by sin. Sin blinds us to anyone or anything else but our own desires. The sin that occupies your minds or your hands becomes the center of your attention, and nothing else matters. You know what that's like. I do too. When you stand there red-handed and it begins to dawn on you what you've done, maybe for the first time or for the 100th time for that matter, the last thing that you want is to be seen by God. And the reality that God has been right there all along watching is a mortifying thought. It should cut to the heart. Well, what should we do? Hide it? Blame it on someone else? Explain it away? Well, you know that you can't defend yourself. No, the right response is to repent and return to your baptism. For in your baptism, the Lord has come down to you in justice and in mercy. He scatters Satan and he kills the old Adam so that he would be united to you. And there he has begun to recreate you in his image so that you would reflect his glory to those around you. In your baptism, God has come to you to tear down the tower of idolatry and self-worship, and instead he makes your bodies the temple of the Holy Spirit. For those who are building the tower of self-worship in the plain of Shinar, the Lord comes and communicates justice. Now, the Lord doesn't go back on his promise to flood them out with water as the past. The Lord doesn't send armies to siege and to destroy the tower either. The Lord simply comes down to confuse their language and to scatter the people. And so no longer do they speak with one voice. But now with many and various voices speaking many and various languages, where there was unity among the people, now there is division. And where there's division, enmity springs forth. Jesus would later on say in Luke chapter 11, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste. See, with one language and one voice, communication is possible and peace may prosper, but with division comes distrust, comes fear, comes hatred. Luther again commented, if languages had not been confused, the unity of hearts would have continued, but now Babylon falls, Nineveh falls, Jerusalem falls, Rome falls. In short, all kingdoms fall as a result of the confusion of languages, which gives rise to a disunity of hearts. Such has been the case for almost all of human history. Not long after the flood, people groups have been divided into those who speak the same language. Distrust, fear, hatred, warfare have been woven into our collective experience among people groups and nations. Wherein when people do not speak with one voice and one language, well, division remains. But you know, this morning, you may produce from your pocket or your purse a cell phone. You might turn on Google Translator and say, but look, Pastor, today we have such great tools in overcoming language barriers. I'd say, yeah, well, you're right. That may be the case. But you here are wise enough to know that such tools, they're indeed helpful. And you're wise enough to know that even with such great technology, those divisions still exist. It's well to heed the warnings for today that technology alone will not simply bridge the gap between people. The good gifts of God do not replace the need for God to bring together that which was scattered, to unite that which was divided. Unless you become tempted, learn the lesson well. Just as bricks baked by fire was the new tech of the day, it could not bring them closer to God or closer to one another. Don't fixate on the creation of human minds and the ingenuity that they may become for you false gods. Rather, rejoice that the Lord himself indeed has come to bring about true unity in and through Jesus Christ. As we celebrate today Pentecost, We're given an opportunity to rejoice that the Lord has indeed bringing about true and lasting unity here on earth as in heaven above. And look at how the Lord has begun and continues to bring it about. On the festival of Pentecost, when the faithful Jews and the converts of Judaism gathered to the temple in Jerusalem, Peter, along with 120 other followers of Jesus, spoke. And not only did they speak, they proclaimed with boldness and authority. But it's not just the manner in which they spoke, it was the content of their speech. It was the subject of their proclamation that was efficacious. With one voice and with many languages, the people could, with languages that they could understand, they proclaimed Christ crucified and risen. They proclaimed the justice of God and also his forgiveness. And the people who were gathered there were cut to the heart. They repented, and about 3,000 were baptized into Christ that day. See, the miracle of Pentecost is not so much that many languages were spoken. The true miracle was that through what was spoken, God himself was present, uniting people to one another and uniting people to himself. The beginning of the church is the undoing of the division of Babel. From the proclamation with one voice in the many languages that Jesus is the Christ, the one who suffered the justice of God for mankind's sin, is also the one by whom forgiveness, life, and salvation are now given, God was uniting that which was once divided. And as the people were baptized into Christ, they were united to him to be his people. No longer did it matter what language or dialect they spoke. No longer did it matter where they were born or what country they lived in. Now they were one people who, with one voice and many languages, testified that Jesus is the Christ. And from Pentecost on, the true and faithful church has been proclaiming that God is present with his people to unite them to himself in faith and to unite his people together in love. Look, this, of course, is not accomplished by mankind's efforts or endeavors, but as God, the Holy Spirit, brings it about. Faith, love, and unity are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and by them, God restores to us his image so that through us, God would be reflected to those around. And this is sufficient reason to rejoice this day and every day. As a result of the Holy Spirit given at Pentecost with one voice, the message of salvation is being proclaimed in many languages to all the nations of the world. Look, we don't know the exact number of languages Peter and the others used to proclaim Christ, but we do know that the result of this Christ-centered, Holy Spirit-inspired proclamation was that 3,000 were united to Christ that day. And throughout the ages, through the hard work of translators, oftentimes adapting and using technology in a God-pleasing way, the Holy Scriptures are now available in many languages. According to Wycliffe Bible translators, as of October 2018, the full Bible had been translated into 683 languages. The New Testament has been translated into additional 1,534 languages, and Bible portions or stories into 1,133 other languages. Thus, at least some portion of the Bible has been translated into 3,350 languages. And that is just having the Bible translated into various languages. We pray that where the Holy Spirit, the Holy Scriptures are translated, the Holy Spirit would raise up faithful pastors and teachers to proclaim the good news of salvation held in those pages. St. Paul says in Romans 10, "For there's no distinction, that is now no division, between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord over all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?
And how are they to preach unless someone is sent, unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful of the feet are those who preach the good news. But they all have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word. That is the proclamation of Christ. Well, thanks be to God for the missionaries whom we pray for and who many of you support, that they continue with one voice and in many languages to proclaim that Jesus is the Christ. The Trumps, the Wildowers, the Ashers, the Hakes, and Pastor Sui here among native Chinese speakers. And that where the justice and mercy of God is so proclaimed in the name of Jesus, where his sacraments are rightly celebrated, there also is the Holy Spirit to unite people who were once divided and to make them his people. Therefore, it's a great blessing and an outstanding miracle of the New Testament that by means of various languages, the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost brought men of all nations into the one body of the one head, Christ. Christ joins and unites all into one faith through the gospel, even though the different languages remain, and he tears down the wall, not only by reconciling us to God through his death and speaking to us a new language, but also by bringing about outward harmony, so that different flocks are brought together under the one shepherd and are gathered into one fold. This is Christ's blessing. And since it is common to all, differences in outward life cause no offense. The church reflects God's image to his creation. Missionaries, teachers, pastors, and laity, with one voice and in many languages, are proclaiming repentance and faith in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit is daily adding to the number of believers and will continue to do so until the day we all reach perfect unity in the coming of our risen Lord and Savior. And on that day, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our God. Amen.